Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A Netflix original series.
Previously on Star Trek Discovery.
Context Starfleet Command. Tell them we have engaged the Klingons.
How did the Vulcans achieve diplomatic relations with the Klingons?
Starfleet doesn't fire first.
We have to.
Stand down, Commander Burnham. That's an order.
Burnham neck pinches Georgiou.
I'm sorry.
This is mutiny.
Move through. Tactical.
We're locked on.
Fire.
Delay that order.
Captain, please. I'm trying to save all of you.
Captain, warp signatures detected.
Is it Starfleet?
No, those ships are Klingon.
The Shenzhou faces Klingon ships.
Fire.
T'Kuvma has anointed himself the next Klingon messiah. If you kill him, you make him a martyr. But if you take him as a prisoner of war, you give the Federation leverage to sue for peace.
T'Kuvma stabs Georgiou with his blade. Burnham shoots T'Kuvma.
For the charge of mutiny, it is our ruling that the defendant be stripped of rank and hereby sentenced to imprisonment for life.
On a shuttle, Burnham sits, eyes downcast. Pink lightning flashes and blue clouds behind her.
You hear why we're getting transferred to Tilla? That lithium pocket went piezoelectric.
Ripped apart the bottom of the mine.
Bam. 50 cons. Vaporized.
Two men and a woman sit across from her.
Oh, lucky us. We get to be miners for the war effort now.
I hear half the screws on Tellan are scumbag Andorians. Andorians are cold in all the wrong places.
The three I killed were cold everywhere.
Burnham looks at him.
That kind of talk got your shiny little panties in a bunch, Starfleet. What are you in for anyway? Staying out past curfew?
You don't know who that is? That's Michael Burnham.
The mutineer.
In the flesh.
My cousin was on the Europa when it went down. She and 8,000 others are dead because of you. 8,186.
The shuttle bounces.
Proximity alert. Scanning.
The murderer looks around. Small blue particles fly outside the window behind Burnham.
Bugs in the works out here?
You're going to need to put on an EV suit yourself and play exterminator.
Great.
Hey, where are you going?
Hey, what's going on? Shouldn't somebody be flying this thing?
That species GS-54. An organism that feeds on electricity. It's feeding on the shuttle's power systems.
Bay doors open.
Unless the pilot can get rid of the infestation fast enough, they'll drain us of all of our power. We'll drift until our oxygen runs out. Or we freeze to death. Whichever comes first.
Did you come back? Hello?
Relax. The pilot's taken care of.
The pilot drifts away from the shuttle.
Warning. Safety tether disconnected. Warning. Autopilot malfunction.
We're all gonna die. Okay.
The men struggle with their cuffs. Burnham sits calmly. The woman clenches her teeth and arches her back. Burnham looks to the front of the ship. A tractor beam grabs a hold of the shuttle. They are pulled up and into the shuttle bay of a large starship. Letters on the saucer section of the starship reveal USS Discovery, NCC 1031. Designs for the saucer section of a starship are sketched out, starring Sonequa Martin-Green. The body and warp drives are added. It becomes three-dimensional. Doug Jones. Details are added. Shahzad Latif. Anthony Rapp. Mary Wiseman. The drawing flies over a planet's surface, and Jason Isaacs. The bottom of a face. An eye looks at a spinning sphere. Casting by Marjorie Simpkin, CSA. Orly Sidowitz, CSA. Sketches of a spacesuit. Music and theme by Jeff Russo. Visual effects supervisor, Jason Zimmerman. edited by John Dudkowski, ACE. Production designer, Todd Cherniowski. Director of photography, Darren Tiernan, ISC. Executive producer, Brian Fuller. Executive producers, Eugene Roddenberry, Trevor Roth. Executive producer, Akiva Goldsman. Executive producer, Heather Caden. Executive producers, Gretchen J. Berg, Aaron Harberts. Executive producer, Alex Kurtzman. Star Trek Discovery, based upon Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Created by Brian Fuller and Alex Kurtzman. Teleplay by Gretchen J. Berg and Aaron Harberts and Craig Sweeney. Story by Brian Fuller and Gretchen J. Berg and Aaron Harberts. Directed by Akiva Goldsman. A Starfleet security team marches Burnham and the others out of the shuttle into a shuttle bay.
Not a scratch on the floor. His puppy just rolled off the assembly line.
What's a brand new starship doing so far from the front lines?
A female officer enters the shuttle bay.
This is the USS Discovery. My name's Commander Landry. I'm chief of security here. See, we're unloading all kinds of garbage today. Even Starfleet's first mutineer. On me.
They follow her down a corridor. The security team carries phaser rifles and follows them.
What's with all the silver shirts?
It's a science vessel.
A man holds a phaser and has a black insignia on his uniform. He guards a door.
You ever seen a black badge before?
Somehow this doesn't feel very scientific.
Mouth shut. Eyes ahead. All right. Starfleet says we have to feed the animals. Who's hungry?
In the mess hall. Detmer rises with a tray, a metal strip on her scalp.
Kayla.
Detmer looks down and walks away. Burnham walks forward. Crew members at tables glance at her, shifting their gaze as she passes. She sits at a table with the other prisoners. They stare at her.
How about we make it 8,187?
The female prisoner stands. One of the security team rises. Landry puts her hand on his arm. The male prisoner throws a punch at Burnham. She dodges. She pulls him down to the table and throws a tray into the woman's stomach. Burnham slams the man's head onto the table, then does the same to the woman. She elbows the man's stomach and backhands the woman. Burnham grabs the man's neck.
Captain wants to see you.
Landry holds up her phaser.
Come on. Put him in the brig.
On a turbo lift.
Vulcan martial arts, huh?
Sus mana.
Vulcan should stick to logic.
They step off the turbo lift. Burnham blinks. Saru sits in the captain's chair. Saru lifts his chin. Landry leads Burnham to the ready room. A Tribble sits on the captain's desk.
No matter how deep in space you are, I always feel like you can see home, don't you think?
He stands by the window in the darkened room.
Maybe it's just me. Forgive the lighting, the lack thereof. A recent battle injury.
The galaxy reflects in his eyes.
There's nothing they can do if I want to keep my own eyes, and I do. To suffer light change slowly. I like to think it makes me mysterious. No? Captain Gabriel Lorca, welcome to Discovery. Don't be shy.
He grabs a bowl of fortune cookies. He offers her the bowl.
It was a family business, century ago. That was before the future came, and hunger and need and want disappeared. Of course, they're making a comeback now, thanks to you. Michael Burnham, the Michael Burnham, on my ship. When I saw your name on the shuttle manifest, I reread your file, pulled up your court-martial transcripts. You're something.
Captain, what am I doing on this ship?
I guess you might have to ask that storm out there.
I received no warning that I'd be transferred to another prison facility, which is customary. And my shuttle changed course halfway through the journey.
Maybe the universe hates waste.
Sir.
Question is, what am I going to do with you? When I put you in the brig, someone's going to die, and I don't have the time for that kind of distraction. You have training in high-level quantum physics, don't you? Engineers tell me it's going to take 3 days to clear the lightning bugs out of the prison shuttle. I have something on deck that requires every trained mind available. You're going to help us out.
No.
Excuse me?
No, thank you. Respectfully, I owe a debt for my crime, and it'd be best. I'd prefer to serve my time without getting involved.
You think I care what your preferences are? Until your vessel's repaired, you'll be assigned to quarters and put to work. I'm not a chauffeur. There's no free rides on my ship. You were once a Starfleet officer. I will use you or anything else I can to achieve my mission.
And what mission is that, sir?
To win the war, of course. To send everyone home. Safe and happy. Dismissed.
Lorca exhales.
You're on day shift. Escorted 0800 hours. When you're not working, you're confined to quarters.
Working on what?
Alone, she looks around. Two beds are attached to the wall. She touches a pillow. USS Discovery is imprinted on the case. She sits on the bed. She lies back and puts her head on the pillow.
Lights? This is so neat. They told me because of my special needs that I couldn't have a roommate, which was kind of a letdown because a roommate is like an automatic built-in friend. But then they told me that I was going to have a roommate, and so now I guess that's you. And hi, I'm Cadet Sylvia Tilly.
The red-headed human holds out her hand. Burnham keeps her hands clasped across her stomach.
I talk when I'm nervous. My instructors advise me to work on that.
Why are you nervous?
I'm trying to decide if I should tell you that you took my bed.
Seriously?
I know, they look the same, but I'm allergic to polyester and viscoelastic polyurethane foam. It results in chronic snoring. This is why I wasn't supposed to have a roommate.
No problem.
Burnham crosses the room and lies on the other bed.
What's your name?
Michael.
I never met a female named Michael before. Do you think that suits you? I'll call you Mickey. I think that's a little more approachable.
No, you won't.
Oh, yeah, no, I won't. The only other female Michael I ever heard of was Michael Burnham, the mutineer. You're not her, are you? Are you?
Burnham turns her head. She looks at Tilly.
Black alert. Black alert.
What's going on?
Burnham sits up.
You weren't briefed?
No.
Well, then I can't tell you. I'm sorry.
Tilly lies down, her back to Burnham. Small globs of liquid float over Burnham's headboard. She examines them, They fall and disappear onto the mirrored surface.
Tilly, what the hell is going on this ship?
Tilly's eyes stay open.
Matter synthesis complete.
Burnham zips up a uniform. At the door, Saru holds a glass bowl.
Saru.
First officer, Saru. With me, please. You're famous. They all want a peek.
Congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you. Powers that be were impressed by my actions at the Battle of the Binary Stars, but upon my own reflection of that day, my only wish is that I could have done more.
I understand.
Blueberries.
She takes one, looking up at him.
Ones in prison don't taste the same.
I suppose that is a function of the environment you're eating them in instead of a food synthesizer issue.
I suppose so. So many people with so many places to go.
On Discovery, our facilities can accommodate 300 discrete scientific missions. A Starfleet record.
So this is a science vessel?
You've been assigned to engineering. Lieutenant Stamets will task you with specific duties.
Saru. First officer, Saru.
He tilts his head.
I saw a recording of the speech you gave at the captain's funeral. It was beautiful. I never thought I'd get a chance to say this to you. I think about what happened every day. All the time. And I owe you. I'm trying to say.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I believe you feel regret. But in my mind, you are dangerous. Captain Lorca is a man who does not fear the things normal people fear. But I do. And you are someone to fear, Michael Burnham.
I just want to get back on that shuttle, Commander. I won't make any trouble for you here.
Well, that is certain. But if you try, know that I intend to do a better job protecting my captain than you did yours.
He gestures to the engineering doors and leaves. She stares ahead, then turns and enters. People stand, heads bowed at consoles. Burnham approaches a human woman.
I'm looking for Lieutenant Stamets.
He's in there.
She walks where directed.
That area is off limits. No entry without a breath print.
Starfleet doesn't keep its engineering labs classified.
This is Discovery. I recommend you find a station.
Burnham turns and walks to an empty station next to Tilly.
Sorry, these stations. We have assigned seats.
Burnham approaches a clear room.
Who are you?
I'm Michael Burnham. I was assigned.
Who gave you an assignment? I'm the only one who gives assignments around here.
He brushes green dust off his shoulder.
So you're the one Lorca sent?
Yes.
The mutineer?
Yes.
I was told to expect a Vulcan.
There may be a misunderstanding.
On my part?
Yes. No.
You're making this very complicated.
I was raised on Vulcan, and I attended the Vulcan Science Academy.
My uncle Everett plays in a Beatles cover band. It hardly makes him John Lennon.
I'm not sure I'm following.
Well, if Lorca thinks you are such an asset, reconcile these two suites of code. Go somewhere else, please. It's not like we have assigned seats.
She takes the disc and walks to the station next to Tilly. Tilly presses her lips together. Burnham inserts the disc. A holographic screen appears. She touches the holographic code, manipulating lines. Tilly departs, fading away. The people at the other consoles fade away. People enter engineering and fade away. Burnham stares at the code. Stamets speaks to a man on a holographic screen.
What was Discovery's interval?
Last night, Experian 12.
Why so conservative? Is Lorca holding you back?
No, he's always pushing us for more. I'm sure that our rate of progress is his life's biggest disappointment. By the way, 12 is a perfectly robust number, Strahl. Where's the Glen?
Experian 240.
I hate you. How?
A recent breakthrough.
I hate you. How?
All I can say is there are unexpected benefits to not growing your own. Right now, we have to finish getting ready. Tonight, we're going for Experian 900.
That's not possible.
Don't be like that. You're one of my oldest friends. We've been working on this for 12 years. When we succeed, both our names are going on the Z-Magnes Prize.
I'm not jealous, Audley. I'm worried. That displacement is too massive. It's not safe.
It is now. I worked out the kinks.
Burnham approaches.
Lurker.
I despise lurkers.
I'm struggling with these equations. Initially, I thought I was dealing with quantum astrophysics. But as I got deeper in, biochemistry came into play, maybe even a form of gene expression. It'd be helpful to know what I'm working on.
Why would I tell a prisoner of the Federation who is essentially a temp the details of my top secret research?
It's your call. But either way, this line here...
She gestures to the holographic screen.
It's a mistake.
Blue lines turn red. He looks at the screen.
You can go, lurker.
Submit breath scan for entry.
He breathes on a pad by the door.
Lieutenant Paul Stamets.
She watches him enter another room. In Burnham and Tilly's quarters, Tilly sleeps. Burnham stands next to her. Burnham holds a cloth under Tilly's mouth and nose. Moisture collects on it. In engineering, Burnham opens a box and takes out a hypo spray.
Submit breath scan for entry.
She holds up the cloth in front of the pad and sprays.
Cadet Sylvia Tilly.
Burnham enters the room. She stops and looks around, mouth open. Shrubs fill a large bay. Plants with small leaves and red-tipped foliage branch out above rounder and squatter bushes. Blue particles sparkle above the greenery. Lorca glares out the window of his ready room.
Incoming transmission, designee, Lorca, Gabriel. Classified, above top secret.
Lorca and Saru walk into engineering.
During the last hour, while performing black alert maneuvers, there was an incident. Our sister ship, the USS Glen.
Stamets frowns.
The entire crew was lost.
Saru looks down. Stamets' brows furrow.
What happened? Was it a bloom failure?
Sending a boarding party to find out. Lieutenant Stamets, you'll accompany Commander Landry and ensure that everything related to the project returns to this ship.
Why not just transport what we need from the Glen over to us?
The room holding the equipment is shielded.
Shielded? That's curious.
Indeed.
Let's not indulge that curiosity. It went down by Klingon territory. Let's get in and get out.
Really? We're running drills near Klingon space.
We are at war. Lieutenant, I'd appreciate a day going by without me having to remind you of that.
Well, Captain, I will need to take a team with me. You know, for the cumbersome, annoying science part.
Pick a team. Do it quickly. And take Burnham with you.
Sir, it's one thing to make her a data cruncher in my lab. But to integrate her into this project at such a deep level...
I understand that you lost a friend today, but this is not a democracy. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Number one, you sailed with Burnham aboard the Senjo. What is your assessment of her abilities?
Her mutiny aside, she is
the smartest Starfleet officer I have ever known.
Huh.
Lorca looks at Stamets.
And he knows you.
A shuttle takes off. Tilly sits next to Burnham, across from Landry.
I can't believe you picked me. I mean, obviously, I'm the best theoretical engineer on the ship. That's really why I was fast-tracked at the Academy, but this is my very first boarding party. Kind of hard to believe, right?
Not really.
So, I need to apologize to you. Yesterday, I didn't want you to take the station next to me because, it's really important that I make a good impression here, and I was afraid that if I was seen with you, that would get in the way of it.
I understand. It's okay.
No, it's not okay. I have this character flaw. I care too much about what other people think about me. But you don't care if, like, everybody hates you.
Burnham looks away.
No, that came out wrong.
Disco one.
I think that you could help me.
You're a nice kid, Tilly. But I'm not staying long enough to make friends.
We're dropping out of warp, approaching the Glen.
Disco one, confirm visual acquisition.
Burnham's eyes widen. Tilly and Stamets lean forward. The Glen drifts in space.
You see the etchings on the hull? It's evidence of catastrophic Basidiosac rupture.
Basidiosac? That's an unfamiliar term.
You're out of your depth here, non-Vulcan number cruncher. Seen and not heard, please.
Basidia refers to spore-producing structures. The numbers I've been analyzing have been consistent with organic structures. You mentioned the term bloom. That typically refers to biological...
Are you trying to show everyone how smart you are?
I'm trying to get up to speed so that I can help with this mission. And what is our problem based, biology or physics?
Are you really so naive as to see them as different?
Sir?
At the quantum level, there is no difference between biology and physics. No difference at all. And you talk about spores. What are they? They are the progenitors of panspermia. They are the building blocks of energy across the universe. Physics and biology? No, physics as biology.
All right.
I became an astromycologist because of awe. Awe at the miracle of life. I met Strahl, and we formed a partnership. We would get to the veins and muscles that hold our galaxies together. We would find truth. We were happy in our lab. Then your war started, and Starfleet co-opted our research. They split us up. They put us in charge of two different teams so we could work twice as fast. Not for truth, or to further Starfleet's mission statement of diplomacy and exploration, but for war. And now my friend and his colleagues are dead because of our research. And I have to live with that, but if you think that I'm okay handing my life's work over to that warmonger Lorca, you're wrong.
Lieutenant Stamets, I sincerely have no idea what research you're involved in. I never even intended to be here.
Well, if Lorca wants you to be here, I'm afraid your intentions are less than moot.
Activating shuttle bay containment field override.
Pilot, stay with the ship.
Affirmative.
Kowski, let's move out.
Kowski nods. They file out of the shuttle.
All the power relays and redundancies must be shot. Is that normal?
Nothing's normal after an accident like this.
Burnham holds up her flashlight. Landry leads the group. A beam of light shines on a lump of flesh on the floor. Burnham crouches by a larger lump in a uniform. Raw red lines cross the body parts.
I never anticipated injuries like this. Cadet, scan to determine if the helical trauma to the body is related to the spiral markings on the ship's hull.
There's correlation.
Engineering is this way.
Burnham rises and whips around. Something rushes past an open door. She rejoins the boarding party. Her beam falls on other distorted bodies in Starfleet uniforms. Tilly scans. Sparks fly from the walls.
Look.
A Klingon blade lies on the floor.
Klingons.
Could this mean that they know about the device?
If they do, it's all over.
The ship's lights flicker in the corridor. Stamets holds up his flashlight and squints. A door opens and shuts on a disembodied boot. Flashlight beams find a pile of bloody Klingon bodies.
Why aren't their bodies braided up?
Because they didn't die in the initial accident. They probably boarded after spying a crippled Federation ship with no life signs. They beamed on to steal our tech.
What the hell could do this to a dozen fully armed Klingons?
Over here.
Large scratches mar the walls.
This hull is double reinforced. What could tear through this metal?
Tilly raises her phaser.
You in the shadows. Show yourself.
A Klingon emerges. He puts a finger to his lips.
Is he shushing you?
Something grabs him, pulling him back. A creature with a shiny round head and long antenna plods from the shadows.
Run!
To engineering!
They sprint down a corridor, flashlights flitting. The sharp-toothed creature picks up speed and follows.
Set phasers to kill!
Several of the team fire. They run through blasted doors. Kowski is grabbed from behind and pulled off. Secondary emergency doors close.
What was that thing?
Burn him. Download the ship's logs. Tilly, pull all telemetry and check the spore containment status.
Oh, God.
Stamets kneels next to a distorted body.
I'm sorry, my friend.
They look to the door.
Log that is corrupted.
So there's some kind of navigational hack over here.
Get what you're getting, please.
This is coming with us. Help me get it off.
Burnham runs to a door. She hits a panel.
Jammed. Yeah.
Landry cuts through the door with her phaser. The emergency door bulges and cracks.
There's some kind of device in the reaction cube.
Well, we'll take it with us. Can we go now, please?
Not gonna burn through this in time.
What are you doing? One Federation ship is pretty much like another, I hope. I need a phaser.
Mutineers don't get phasers.
It won't kill it. I'm not trying to kill it, trying to piss it off.
Stamets tosses her a phaser. The creature breaks through the door from the corridor.
Shit, that worked.
She runs.
Move.
Burnham climbs a ladder. She crawls through a Jeffrey's tube. The creature follows her.
The rabbit hole went straight on, like a tunnel for some way, and then dipped suddenly down. So suddenly that Alice had not a moment to think about stopping herself, but instead found herself falling down a very deep well.
Burnham, we're in the shuttle. What is your location?
Jeffrey's tube. Elevate the shuttle 200 feet, rear quarter of all the shield replacement units. Open the top hatch.
She rounds a corner.
She was now only 10 inches high. Her face and body brightened up. She was now the right size to go through the little door into that lovely garden.
A hatch opens in front of her. She looks back at the advancing creature. She drops through it and into the shuttle.
Go!
On the bridge of the Discovery, Burnham steps out of the turbo lift. Saru turns.
Permission to enter the bridge, Commander Saru. Captain requested my presence.
Permission granted. Commander Arium, you have the con. The other prisoners are being transferred to the shuttle now. It's scheduled to leave within the hour.
I'll be on it, sir.
It has not gone unnoticed that during your time on this ship, you conducted yourself in a respectable manner. And from what I understand, you were invaluable to the boarding party, which I was pleased to hear since I was the one who recommended your involvement.
I appreciate your faith in me.
Yeah, you were always a good officer. Until you weren't. If only you hadn't.
She nods.
You are a valuable asset. It is a loss for Starfleet.
Thank you.
He leaves her at the entrance to the ready room.
Well, there she is.
Captain.
Michael Burnham, I would like to extend an official invitation to you to join the Discovery and be a member of our crew.
Sir, I've been court-martialed and convicted.
Don't worry about Starfleet. They gave me discretion to fight this war however I saw fit.
I'm afraid I can't take you up on your offer.
You hell-bent on self-persecution?
That's not it. Not all of it, anyway.
Why wouldn't you stay?
Let me answer your question with a question. Why do you want me to stay? I'm not here by accident. I think you brought me here. I think you've been testing me.
And why would I do that?
You're developing some kind of experimental technology. Some kind of spore-based biological weapon. The kind of weapon that is explicitly forbidden by the Geneva Protocols of 1928 and 2155. And you need someone to help you. Enter me. A mutineer. Who intended to wage unsanctioned war on the Klingons. A trained officer who's been banished from Starfleet. And someone who would presumably do anything to get out of their life sentence in prison, including illicit weapons tests, like whatever went wrong on the Glen.
Enter you, indeed.
I'm not who you think I am. Before I was a mutineer, I was a first officer in Starfleet. I'll never bear that rank or any other again. But it is who I am and who I will always be. It is by the principles of the United Federation of Planets that I live. And by them, I will most certainly die.
I know who you are, Michael Burnham. I know exactly who you are. I know you love being right, but I suspect that you hate being wrong even more. So let me stop you going down a path you'll regret. Computer, 2 for site-to-site transport. Captain's ready room to engineering test bay up.
Confirmed.
Energize.
They materialize in the empty engineering bay. He opens the door to the clear room.
If you'll be so kind.
She walks in, eyeing him as she passes. The door shuts behind her. He takes out a canister from the wall.
mycelium spores, harmless, harvested from the fungal species Prototaxidus stelliviatori,
which we grow in our cultivation bay. Did you know that? Because you broke in.
He places it in an engineering station. Spores, the blue particles, begin to fill the clear room.
We're not creating a new way to kill.
We are creating a new way to fly.
An organic propulsion system. The gland was traveling on these when disaster struck. You yourself have jumped across the mycelial network. Nothing bad happened, just the ship's walls got a little damp, that's all.
Black alert.
Now, Discovery's leaps have measured only in the hundreds of kilometers. A sad statistic, which is a source of some tension between myself and Lieutenant Stamets.
But our more advanced sister ship, before she crashed,
was traveling back and forth from the Beta Quadrant, 90 light years away, in 1.3 seconds.
How do you travel on spores?
Imagine a microscopic web that spans the entire cosmos.
An intergalactic ecosystem, an infinite number of roads leading everywhere.
The veins and muscles that hold our galaxies together.
Now, if the Discovery can be anywhere and gone in an instant, that's how you beat the Klingons. That's how you win the war. And we must win the war. But that's just the beginning.
Imagine the possibilities.
We'll see where they're going, where they've been,
or where they could take us.
He moves to stand behind a console.
Hold tight.
He touches the console. The room darkens around her. The spores form a planetscape.
Blink, you're in Ilari. Blink, the moons of Andoria. Blink, you missed Romulus. All those planets, all those places, all those species seen and yet to be seen.
And you're home like it never happened.
The light returns to normal. The spores fade. He opens the door.
I did choose you. But not for the reasons you think. Your assumption that the Klingons were waiting in ambush at the binary stars was predictive. You chose to do the right thing over and above what was sanctioned. Even a great cost to yourself. And that is the kind of thinking that wins wars. Kind of thinking I need next to me. Universal law is for lackeys. Context is for kings.
He steps aside, and she exits the clear room.
So what's it to be, Michael?
He holds a fortune cookie.
What's in your future? What do you wish for? Atonement? Redemption? Maybe the assurance that the captain you lost didn't die in vain. You helped start a war. Don't you want to help me end it?
She takes the cookie. An orange and red sun reflects on the Discovery's hull. In the mess hall, Saru makes tea. Two sets of small, tentacle-like projections emerge from the back of his head.
Shuttle for prison colony cleared for warp.
He watches through the window as the shuttle leaves. He looks around, then puts both of his hands on the tentacles. They retract. Burnham walks into her and Tilly's quarters.
I thought you were on a prison shuttle.
I'm still here. Hope you don't mind.
I'm glad. Here's a thing most people don't know about me. I'm gonna be a captain someday. The thing is that there are still some things I need to learn. And I know that you were one of the most highly regarded first officers in Starfleet, and I have read everything there is on Georgiou.
Captain Georgiou.
Chris, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's okay.
Burnham smiles and unpacks.
Wow, is that a book?
Burnham turns. She carries the paperback book over. She hands it to Tilly. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
when I was a kid after my parents were killed. My foster mother on Vulcan used to read it to me and her son. She and I were the only humans in the house. It's how I learned that the real world doesn't always adhere to logic. Sometimes down is up. Sometimes up is down. Sometimes when you're lost, you're found.
What was her name?
Amanda.
Two bursts of blue light shoot the Glenn. It explodes.
And the USS Glenn is no more.
Sad to see a ship like that go.
Just a ship.
So is our new guest settled in?
Aye, sir. Snug as a bug in a rug.
Then I think we will spend some time together this evening. Thank you for beaming it aboard.
Anything, anytime, Captain.
Dismissed.
She nods. An alien skeleton stands in a glass case. Two small aliens lie on a table. Skulls and bones sit behind glass. He walks to a transparent doorway and touches a containment field.
You kitty kitty.
The creature from the Glen jumps at him. He slowly turns and walks away. Looking down, he walks to the window. He gazes out. The ship jumps to warp. Credits appear. Associate producer, Dana N. Wilson. Guest starring, Rekha Sharma. Sound designer, Tim Farrell. Secret Hideout, Roddenberry Entertainment, Living Dead Guy, CBS All Access Originals, CBS Television Studios. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.